Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the third session of our meeting. We want to thank our song leaders for leading such wonderful hymns. And just like that song says, you know, how great is our God, all will see. My heart will sing of how great our God is. And I really hope that all of us in here will have a true and sincere desire to want to see how great our God is. You know, we can sing these songs, and it sounds good, but we really have to have that desire to want to see how great our God is. And our God is indeed a great God. And so let's not limit his greatness by not having that desire to see that. So before I start, I wanted to ask if there's someone named Diana in here. Is there just one? Oh, there's a bunch of Dianas. Which one's from Seattle? You're born there. Okay, good. All right. See, I knew you when you were like really little. You probably don't even remember me. But I was eating dinner with your dad, and he said you were in here, so I was excited. So okay, now I know who you are. Okay. Anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed the retreat as much as I have. sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass you, Diana. I really enjoyed the conference so far, and I just wanted to open up again with something that our brother Ed Miller shared. I hope that you guys were all there, and I hope you guys paid really good attention, because he had a lot of good things to say. And if you remember from this morning's message, Ed Miller shared on the story of Moses and his desire to see the glory of God. And I won't repeat the entire message, so I'm just going to highlight some things that sort of relate to what we're talking about here. Okay, so in Exodus chapter 33, verse 13, Moses cries out to the Lord. He says, "Lord, show me your ways that I may know you." And if you think of Moses, this is after the 10 plagues, after he took the people out of through the Red Sea into the wilderness, after he fed the people, or he knocked on the stone, there was water. All of this stuff happened his entire life, and yet he comes to the Lord and says, "Show me your ways that I may know you." And I thought that was such an amazing thing that he said. You know, this is Moses. This is not even us. This is Moses saying, "Lord, I want to know you more. I want to see your glory." At this point, you know, people that read the Bible would think that, yeah, Moses already knows God. He's been through the 10 plagues. He's for crying out loud, he led the Israelites past the Red Sea. Shouldn't he know God by now? But yet he says, "Show me your ways that I may know you." And it's just so amazing, just like that song we sang, you know, how great is our God. He's infinite. So you will never be able to understand the fullness of our God. So when we are able to sing songs like this, I really hope that we have a desire to want to see the glory of God, that we want to see God and know God. Okay, many times, we think that we have a little bit of knowledge about Jesus, about God, and we think that, okay, I have this, I know who God is now. And that's it. And we don't have a desire to really want to know God. This is Moses saying, "Lord, I want to know who you are." And yet many times we just know this much of the Lord, and we don't have the desire to want to know the Lord more. And that is the very beginning. And if we don't have the desire to want to know the Lord, then the faith that we have in our life doesn't exist. And the faith that we have, the little faith that we have, doesn't take off and it doesn't grow. So this is Moses. When our brother Miller presented this passage in this way, it really opened my eyes to see how shallow and how little I knew about the Lord. You know, sometimes we grasp hold of something that maybe our Sunday school teachers have taught us. We've read something in the Bible and we thought that, okay, I understand God now. He died for me. Okay, that's good enough. I understand God. But Moses was, "God, I want to know you." And he was tested three times, as our brother Miller said. One passage I wanted all of you to look at was that he also mentioned. It was Philippians chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles, can you please turn to Philippians chapter 3. verse 10. And we're going to read verse 10 through 12. Okay, Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know you and the power of his resurrection. Oh, I'm sorry. That I may know him the Lord, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. This is Apostle Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And again, this is Apostle Paul, the guy that saw the Lord on the road to Damascus, right? He saw the Lord already. And he went around preaching the gospel. He went around preaching to all the churches. And yet, he wrote these letters while he was in prison. And yet he writes, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means that Paul, at his level here, I think I'm probably like somewhere way down there. Paul is right here, and he's already telling us that he's not even close to knowing the vastness of the Lord. He's not even close to being perfect. And yet he says he doesn't give up, right? He says, but I press on. So this is our walk of faith in the Christian life. When we apply the faith that we have to press on. We have to keep going forward. We don't step backwards. We press on toward the goal. And God promises us that he makes us perfect through his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so this is something that is so important. We have to first have that desire, like Moses, to want to know who the Lord is. Once you know the Lord and you're able to see his glory, then your faith is limitless. You see God's glory and you realize how great of a God he is. And then that's not the end of it. It's a journey that keeps going upward. Like Paul says, I press on towards the goal. Not that I've obtained it already. Some of us think that, okay, I know salvation, I've obtained it. Jesus said, believe in me and you'll have eternal life. I believe in him, I have eternal life, I've obtained it. And then you kind of put that in your pocket and you walk. But that's not what Paul says here. Paul says, I haven't obtained it. After his entire lifetime in this world, I still haven't obtained it yet. But I'm still pressing on, I'm still putting my faith, I'm still applying my faith and pressing on. So I really hope that all of us in this room, that we would all, including myself, that we would all have that desire to want to see how great the Lord is. We would have that heart to cry out to the Lord and pray to the Lord like Moses did. Lord, show me your ways so that I may know you. So I thought that was really wonderful that our brother Miller kind of enlightened that portion of the scripture to us. And I think that really applies to what we're talking about here in our Christian life regarding faith. So if you guys remember, the first session that we had was we talked about the basis of our faith, right? The basis of our faith, what exactly what we believe in. And we first have to see the Lord. And if we don't see the Lord, we don't have that faith inside of us. So we need to all make that prayer like Moses so that we can walk forward. In the second session, we talked about how we use our faith, right? We have to be willing to use our faith, and we have to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord. As soon as we take our eyes off of the Lord, just like when Peter was walking on the water, he took his eyes off the Lord, he lost his faith, and he sunk. And so in our Christian life, we have to learn to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus at all times. And it brings us to tonight's session. We're going to talk about our life of faith, which is our inner life in the Lord. So before we begin with that, why don't we just open up with a word of prayer again? So why don't we bow with a word of prayer? Lord Jesus, once again, we entrust this time into your hands. We pray that you would give us only a simple and sincere heart to want to hear your voice, to want to see you again. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would lead this meeting, yet we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. Lord, I pray that if there are words that are spoken from my mouth, that these words would be forgotten, but the words that you speak tonight, that these words would be remembered in our hearts. Lord, we really thank you again for tonight, and I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here. Lord, our life in you is not perfect, but you're so merciful to us, and you lift us up when we fall down. And Lord, we are all growing in you. We all want to press on towards that goal. Lord, I pray that you would have mercy on us tonight and bless this meeting. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're going to have to excuse me again. My allergies are really kicking in today. So if I start coughing, please bear with me. So tonight's meeting, we're going to look at our inner life in the Lord, which is our faith in the Lord, the life of faith, okay? So knowing that the Lord is inside of us, like we talked about in that first message, that the Lord's life is inside of us, that is a life of faith. Just knowing that the Lord is inside of us is an act of faith, okay? And we have to believe that is our life, that is our source of life. So having that life inside of us is the beginning of our life and faith. Well, having the Lord inside of us, shouldn't we have a life full of abundance, full of joy, full of strength, full of energy? And sometimes you have to ask yourself, do you have this kind of joy? Do you have this abundance in your life, having this inner life? Well, we're going to talk about some of those things today. And also knowing that God is constantly perfecting us, knowing that, yes, the Lord lives in me, but I'm so far from being perfect. But knowing that the Lord is constantly making us better, perfecting us into His image, just the fact that you know that is a step in your faith, is living out that faith. So again, like I mentioned the first time, I was someone that grew up in church in Sunday school, like many of you, and we were taught many lessons, just like you guys sitting in this session or sitting in Sunday school. You know, we've gone through so many stories in the Bible, so many lessons in the Bible, and we kind of associate that with our Christian life. You know, at home your parents are like, read your Bible and pray. At church, the Sunday school teachers, read your Bible and pray. Then you go back home and it's, read your Bible and pray. And you sort of get that nailed into your head that, okay, this is my Christian life. This is my life of faith, is praying and reading the Bible. And then you go over here, pray, read the Bible. And it's just sort of the action of doing that, okay? And all of that, what all of that produces is just knowledge of the Lord. Okay, so knowing about Jesus, like we said the first time, knowing about Jesus is totally different than knowing Jesus. And knowing about Jesus is not life, right? Knowing about Jesus is just knowledge. But truly knowing Jesus and accepting that as your life, that then becomes your life. So once we realize that we have this faith and we've taken that in, we've taken the Lord Jesus in, then we can realize that, then we can be open to the fact that, you know, yeah, my parents tell me to read the Bible and pray because they want me to gain more of the Lord. They want me to see more of God's glory. And when we pray to God, that's how we draw near to God. That's how we can see God and have that personal walk with the Lord. And so the next time your parents and your Sunday school teachers mention that, you should appreciate that. You shouldn't go, okay, I've heard this before. All right, you're like my mom. You're telling me this again. But you should appreciate that and go, yeah, that's what I want to do because I have the life of the Lord in me, and this is the book of life. And when I pray, that's when I can draw near to the Lord. Okay, so a huge difference of knowing about Jesus and truly knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is life. Knowing about Jesus is just knowledge. And so we need to really ask the Lord for mercy to bring all of that knowledge and bring it about a foot down into our hearts, okay, so that we can live that out. So God calls us to a life of abundance, right? The Christian life, you've heard that term, the life of abundance. And that is our inner life, and God indeed calls us to that calling, a life of abundance. And sometimes we don't get that through our heads. Sometimes we just still want to think that, okay, well, what does that mean? Okay, so now I have the Lord in my life, so I have faith. Without faith, I can't please the Lord. So then it's natural to try to think that, okay, what can I do to make the Lord happy? So then as Christians, we sort of go, okay, well, I know I'm supposed to read the Bible, so I'll just read 10 chapters a day. Maybe that'll make the Lord happy. Maybe my life will be more abundant. Or maybe I'll pray for 10 hours a day, and maybe then I can really, you know, touch the Lord. Maybe then the Lord will say, ah, well done, good and faithful servant. You pray 10 hours a day. And so we sort of think that, okay, that's our inner life, right? We have to do something to gain more of Christ, right? So, but all of that, as many of you know, is not what the Lord wants, right? The Lord he's not here to set rules on this life. This life, this inner life that we have in the Lord is a free life. It's not a life of you must do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then, okay, you've accomplished it. No, the inner life is a life that is free, a life that you can enjoy the Lord, and the Lord wants you to enjoy that life. He wants you to enjoy the abundance of his life, and all of that is brought forth by our faith in him. We have to believe that our God is a merciful God. He's not a slave driver here saying, all right, from now on, Diana, I'm picking on you because I know your name now. You have to read 10 chapters a day, or read the Bible 100 times in your lifetime, and then you're a good servant. You know, that's not the Lord. Okay, so the life of faith is not trying to do more of the quote unquote Christian things. It doesn't mean that when you go to church, you know, 3 times a week that's really, you know, strengthening my inner life. You know, of course, the Lord can use those meetings to strengthen your inner life, but just the act of doing that doesn't strengthen your inner life, right? So many times a lot of people, young people have a lot of energy, I've noticed. As I'm getting older, you guys seem really young to me, but young people have a lot of energy, and when we think of doing things for the Lord, we always want to go out and do things. And we think that when we do something for the Lord, that's increasing my inner life. That's completely not what the Lord wants. Okay? Many times, I don't know if you've heard of the term, forgive me for using this term, but it's called the Christmas tree term, or Christmas tree life. Okay? Just follow me for a second. We are the tree, okay? And we have put a lot of decorations on, right? And so over here, I went to this church conference. I'll hang a little church conference on that tree. I did a little missions trip over here. So you take that little missions trip, you hang it on that tree. Oh, I went to another missions trip, put that on the tree. And then you're trying to make your Christian life beautiful on the outside. Or you can look at it as your Christian resume. Right? Oh yeah, I've done this, I've done that, I've read the Bible how many times? 2 times, okay, I'll write that down, hang it on my tree. Oh, I've been to how many church conferences? I'll hang those on my tree. And you try to make your Christian life look beautiful on the outside because maybe you think that, okay, we've done all these things. And that's not the inner life, right? That's just like your outside. That's just hanging decorations on. That doesn't mean that your inner life, you have that inner life with the Lord. So God calls us to a life of faith. A life of faith isn't us thinking about how we can make our lives more spiritual. It's not thinking, how can I make myself more holy? But a life of faith is recognizing that there's nothing that I do that will make me more righteous. There's nothing that I do that I can do that will make me holy but it's the Lord Jesus that makes me holy. And that's our inner life, that God takes the stress away from us that, oh yeah, we have to do this, we have to do that, hang this on our tree, write this on our Christian resume. And he eliminates all that. He doesn't want that to be the definition of our inner life with the Lord. Our inner life is free and no boundaries. And that's what the Lord wants. You know, if we try to do all these things, you know what's going to happen at the end? You're just going to get burnt out. Because you're going to hang a couple of mission trips on their tree. You come back, you're tired. Oh, I got to do another one. And then you do more. You do more. Eventually, you're going to burn out because that's not what's in your inner life that's coming forth. That's just all kind of up here trying to decorate your Christian life, forcing your Christian life to look a certain way. But that's completely not the life of faith. The life of faith is taking the Lord Jesus and putting him in ourselves. Now I don't want to look down on mission trips and things like that. I know a lot of young people do those, and I am not putting that down in any way. I'm just saying that it's the attitude that we have when we come before the Lord. Okay, and so our inner life is that life of faith. He wants us to enjoy it. He wants us to enjoy coming to church. He wants us to enjoy reading the Bible. He wants us to enjoy talking to him through prayer. He wants us to enjoy fellowship with one another, not just go through a routine of this Christian act. Okay, he wants us to find joy in that life. So, so this inner life of faith what is the source of this inner life? We know it's the faith. We know we have the Lord inside of us. Well, let's turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, we're going to look at verse 4 and verse 7. And these are all verses you guys are very familiar with. Okay, so this says, verse 4 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. If you abide, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you." So you guys all know this example that Jesus gives about the vine, the branches, and the fruits, right? What does Jesus say here? We are the branches, right? And he's the source. So we're connected to that source, and that source is the Lord Jesus, right? So if you take a branch, I mean, this is just, you guys all know this. You take an apple tree. You break off the branch of an apple tree. You take it away from its source. It's not going to bear fruit, right? It has to have life coming into the stump of the tree, the trunk, and then goes out to the branches, and then you bear fruit. Well, if we take our life and detach it from the Lord, we're not going to bear fruit. And that is when our Christian life becomes dry, becomes boring, it becomes, you're detached from the joy of the Lord. And so it's very important to understand that when we talk about faith, we have to have that constant connection with the Lord. And that constant connection is brought forth through the Holy Spirit. So we always have to protect that Holy Spirit inside of us. All day long, from the beginning of the day, we ask the Lord to anoint us with His holy oil, His Holy Spirit, and we have to protect it so that it doesn't leave us. Because once that Holy Spirit is gone, we're detached from that source. We're detached from the Lord, and we can't bear fruit. Right? What does the Lord say? Remember that fig tree that didn't bear fruit? He condemned it, right? He condemned it because it didn't bear fruit. Well, if we break ourselves off from the Lord, we're never going to bear that fruit. Okay? So our inner life should be full of abundance, full of joy. Just ask yourself right now, do you have joy in your life right now? Are you guys happy sitting here? I see a couple of smiles, a couple of people dozing off, but but our inner life should be full of joy. That's what the Lord wants. If you ask yourself honestly, do I have the joy of the Lord inside of me? If you don't, then you really have to come before the Lord and quickly attach yourself to the Lord so that you can have this abundant life. Okay, so our inner life is also, we'll also call it our hidden life. Okay, so that's our hidden life means it's our personal relationship with the Lord. That means it's mine. No one else can have this relationship that I have with the Lord. And I can't have the relationship that you have with the Lord. It's a hidden life in the Lord. And we all need to have that hidden life. We have to have that hidden life of faith. And when we have that abundance in us, then then that joy inside of us will trickle to the outside. And people will be able to see that joy. Okay. So what is an outward life? An outward life, some of the things we talked about, maybe some of the older ones in the room are involved in a lot of church services. Maybe you're involved with cleaning the bathrooms at church, you know, cleaning the kitchens, you know, leading songs, leading Bible studies. Or for some of you, it's just coming to church, attending a church. Some of you go off and do things for the Lord, like mission trips or pray in public, and you, these are kind of your outward things that you sort of do, okay? But that's not that inner life, that hidden life in the Lord. That hidden life in the Lord, that inner life with the Lord is one-on-one. That's you and God, not anyone else. That's when you go into that room with the Lord and you close the door, and it's just you and the Lord talking to the Lord, having fellowship with the Lord. That's our inner life in the Lord. That's that hidden life with the Lord. Well, what do you do with that time? Ask yourselves this. Do you even have that time with the Lord? Do you have that one-on-one relationship with the Lord? You know, if you really just take a second right now to think, in each day, how much time do you dedicate yourself to the Lord or dedicate to the Lord? Just take a second to think about it. Some of us might say, well, I do pray before I eat. Sometimes that's a couple of seconds, breakfast, lunch, dinner. So that's maybe a total of a minute and a half, if it lasts 30 seconds. Some of us, that's it. That's the only inner life that we have with the Lord, is thanking the Lord during meal times. And then maybe occasionally if we wake ourselves up early enough and we don't keep hitting the snooze button, we might catch maybe one Bible verse and maybe say a quick prayer as we're kind of dozing off, and then we have to run off to school or do other things. That is what many Christians kind of associate as their inner life with the Lord. And that's why our inner life with the Lord is always so dry. How come I don't see you, Lord? How come when I asked you to help me, where are you? It's because we dedicate a minute and a half of our time to the Lord each day. Well, of course, that inner life, if your inner life is this much and your outward life is like this much, and our inner life brings forth that true joy, that means in your life we'll have about that much joy. And all that joy that we do on the outside, like doing things for the Lord, serving the Lord in the church, doing this, leading Bible studies, leading songs, you know, coming to church, coming to prayer meetings, all of that is all outward life, okay? But that inner life in the Lord, that one-on-one time that you have with the Lord, that is where you'll find the abundance of the Lord. That is when you're going to find the joy of the Lord. So we have to expand that from that a minute and a half, we have to expand that to the point where we are going to fully see the joy of the Lord. Okay, so so our hidden life is that one-on-one time with the Lord. Many times we come to church and we kind of put on this holy look as well. Okay, we come in dressed really nicely, we sit, you know, upright, and we bring our Bibles, we bring our notebooks, we pray out loud, we talk about spiritual things. And as soon as you go home, what happens? You start cussing with your friends, you argue with your parents, you do bad things to your siblings, you uh, you go out, you drink, you smoke with your friends, you go do things, you know, that you know you're not supposed to do. Well, that portion of that is supposed to be your inner life. That's your hidden life in the Lord. So examine yourself. Is your hidden life a dark hidden life, or is your inner life in the Lord? Is your hidden life that time where you're by yourself, where no one else is around? Are you living in sin, or are you going to dedicate that time to the Lord? So that inner life, that's why I call it the hidden life, because that's the life that only you know of. Looking at all of you, and maybe you look at me and you're like, okay, he's up there, he must be a holy person, but what about my inner life? What happens when I come off of this and I go home? What am I doing at home? Right? That time is the inner life, your hidden life in the Lord. And that's what we need to protect. That's when we need to protect that Holy Spirit inside of us. As soon as we disconnect ourselves, we take that, the Holy Spirit leaves us, then we're left in sin. We fall to temptations. We fall miserably. So we really have to understand that our hidden life, our inner life in the Lord, needs grace, needs the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit, you'll have the abundance, you'll have the joy. Okay, so as I mentioned earlier, there's the joy of the Lord is such a great and vast thing. That inner life, when we have that joy, like I said, it kind of percolates outward, and then you don't have to worry about trying to make yourself holy. If you have a strong inner life, people are going to be able to see the joy of the Lord in you. Okay, so so let me just use my uncle as an example, my Uncle Joe. So we once had a gospel meeting at our church. And he and Uncle Joe and my Aunt Joyce went to pick up some gospel friends that they invited, and they brought them to the meeting. Okay, so they sat through a meeting, they met a couple of people, and then the meeting was over. And on the way home, he was dropping them off, and it happened that he was speeding, and he didn't realize that, and he got pulled over by a cop. And so the police officer pulled him over, came over. It was really mean to him. You know, cops kind of have to be that way. He was really mean, and really chewing my uncle out, saying, you know, you've been speeding. I'm going to write you a fat ticket. You know, you can't do this anymore. You're driving recklessly. And wrote him a big ticket and gave it to my uncle, and then the cop wrote off. You know what happened? My uncle started like, he started laughing, and he started smiling, he started rejoicing, and my aunt started laughing, and they kind of laughed the whole thing off. And you know what happened? The gospel friends sitting in the back were like, what is going on? What would make someone laugh after getting a speeding ticket and getting chewed out by a cop? What's so joyful about that? And that caused those gospel friends to see, you know, there's something different about these two people. They, you know, these two Christians. There's something different. They have, you know, it's the joy of the Lord inside of them. It's the joy of the Lord in their inner life kind of percolating out, so that when things like that happen, like a speeding ticket happen, they're able to rejoice. They're able to maintain that connection with the branch, with the source, and you have the abundance, the joy of the Lord. And I didn't even know this until it's these two gospel friends that were actually testifying it in our church. And I thought it was just so amazing that the Lord can use every single one of us in this room in ways that we can't even imagine the Lord using us in. As long as we're able to hold on to that inner life, that hidden life in the Lord, as long as we touch the Lord's life, we have that joy inside of us. And when that happens, you can affect other people. Other people will see that joy in you and go, wow, this person's really happy. Well, I want to have what this person has. And that's the joy of the Lord. It spreads like that. So There was a really wise brother that once told me. He said the most powerful thing. There's nothing more powerful than a joyful child of God. There's nothing more powerful than a joyful Christian. So how can we be a joyful Christian? It's to have that inner life in the Lord. If we don't have that inner life in the Lord, no matter how hard you sit down with a gospel friend and you're trying to tell them, you spill out your life story to them, you know, it's not what we say. They might never accept the Lord by what you say, but if they see the joy of the Lord inside of you, then they're going to go, I want that. That's what I want. When you're hanging out with your friends and you're just delighting in the Lord, you're filled with the joy of the Lord, your friends are going to see that. It's going to percolate outwards, and they're going to want the joy of the Lord as well. So it's so important. If we don't hold on to the joy of the Lord, our life is dry. We come to meetings. Oh, it's that same old brother speaking again. Oh, no. You need a calendar to measure the time that he's going to be up there speaking. You know, you lose the joy of the Lord immediately. And oh, we're singing this song again. We sang it last week. Why are we singing it again? You know, where's the joy of the Lord? It's because we're detached from the joy of the Lord. We don't have that inner life inside of us. Remember that song we sang, How Great Is Our God? That means each time you consider the Lord, he gets even bigger. So it doesn't matter. Even if you sing the same song, if you read the same verse every single day, that verse should get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's the only way for that to happen is if you have that faithful life, that inner life in the Lord, that joy of the Lord. Okay, so let me give you another example of, I'm using all of my uncles today. One of my uncles was diagnosed with stomach cancer about a year ago, and it was a pretty advanced stage. It was a stage three, so four is the worst, and it was a stage three. That means it spread to the local area; it didn't spread throughout the body. And stomach cancer is something it's a pretty serious cancer. The survival rate is only like 50%. And so obviously this was quite devastating for our family. But the entire time, I'm just so amazed. My uncle was, as soon as he was diagnosed with it, he said, you know what? I was filled by the love of the Lord when that doctor came in and told me that. And I was thinking, I was like in tears when I heard, I was in tears when I heard what happened. And yet he was saying, I was filled by the love of the Lord. And throughout all the chemotherapy, the surgery first, he removed half of his stomach. He went through chemotherapy. He just finished another round. He went through radiation therapy, another round of chemotherapy, and he just finished like a week and a half ago. And during the chemotherapy, your immune system drops pretty low. So sometimes it gets to pretty dangerous levels, and so your body can't attack or defend itself. And he had a bad reaction where he lost all his fingernails, all his toenails. They started bleeding out of his hands. And yet he was, every time you see him, a smile on his face, come on in, you know, and he lost all of his hair. And he looks like a completely different person because he's got more wrinkles on his face. Completely different person. He went from kind of he was never fat, but he was a bigger guy. And now he's like a toothpick. And you see him, I want to cry every time I see him. But then he has the biggest grin on his face. you just sense the joy of the Lord inside of him. Every day he's just, you know, thank the Lord. You know, I'm not angry with the Lord. I know the Lord has a purpose for me in going through this. And you know, he's always praising the Lord, always telling brothers and sisters, you know, don't worry, the Lord is good. Where does this joy come from? It comes from that inner life in the Lord. If we don't have that inner life in the Lord, that that abundant life in the Lord, then it's easy to go, Lord, just take me now. You know, I don't want to go through this. You know, oh, my life is miserable. Oh, cancer. Oh, what's worse than cancer? You know, you're gonna get down. But the joy of the Lord brings you up. The joy of the Lord is a source of joy, and we obtain that in our inner life. So let's take a look at John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 38. This is what it says. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. He who believes in me, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. How many of us in this room have experienced rivers of flowing water? Kind of? Sort of? Sort of? All right. All right. Well, for the rest of us, when we read this, what does this mean to you? Rivers of flowing water? What is that? Let rivers from your innermost being, inside of you, flowing out rivers of living water. What is that? That's the joy of the Lord. That's knowing the Lord to the point where you're just pouring out with life, pouring out with rivers of living water. You know, most Christians, if we never touch the life of the Lord, if we don't secure that Holy Spirit inside of us, don't protect that Holy Spirit inside of us, if we don't have that inner life with the Lord and touch the joy of the Lord, we're not going to experience this. What that means is every time you read the Bible, you're like, oh, this is dry as dirt. You know, what, Lord, what is this? Every time you read the Bible, oh, this is so dry. And you go to church, oh, it's so boring. I'm just going to doze off and fall asleep. Or, oh, this is... That's not rivers of living water flowing out of you, right? That's the complete opposite. So this is what we need to have. Rivers of flowing water out of us. Well, how do we obtain rivers of flowing water, rivers of living water flowing out of us? How do we obtain this? What do you guys think? Well, yeah, it's the inner life that we have, but it's our faith in God's word. Right? It says the scripture says, he who believes in me, as the scripture says. So what that means is we have to study God's word. This right here is our instruction manual for our inner life. Okay? Some of you are really good at building things. I might not be the best person at building things. And sometimes I have to refer to the manual. My wife always laughs at me and goes, "Ah, I told you, should have took that out the first, you know, before you started." But this is our instruction manual. And if you don't, for me, if I don't have an instruction manual, you know, I build something and it doesn't look right at the end, right? Well, God has given us the exact way that we're supposed to live this inner life, and we have to read His Word. Well, some of you might ask me, well, you're talking about living waters, but when I read the Bible, it's so dry. So how am I supposed to read this? How am I supposed to have, you know, this inner life of the Lord if I just can't read the Bible? I don't understand it. It's too dry. It's too hard. Well, it's because the way that we read it. You know, if we have, just like Moses when he asked the Lord, Lord, I want to know you. Show me your ways so that I may know you. If you read the Bible with that desire to know the Lord, to want to see the Lord, then the Word of God won't be dry. If you're reading it strictly because your parents told you to read it, it's going to be dry. Or maybe because your middle school counselor told you to read the Bible, you're reading it because of that reason, it's going to be dry. But if we have the desire to want to know God, we're going to be able to read God's word and find life in it. And once we find life, once we touch the life of God, inside of us, from our innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. That's how, this is our instruction manual for the inner life. So if, you know, this is a process that we're all learning. Every Christian is learning this process of strengthening our inner life, touching the life of the Lord and finding that joy in the Lord. Okay, so it's really important. We always have to go back to the Bible. I won't spend too much time on that, but it is important. It is our way of touching the Lord and knowing the Lord. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. It says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. I want you to focus on that very last section, so that we too might walk in newness of life. What is newness of life? Newness of... I don't know your name, but... What is it? Living a new life. Exactly. Newness of life is simply living a new life. What is that new life? It's Jesus' life inside of us. It's no longer my life. It's no longer your life. But it's Jesus' life inside of us. Exactly right. Just like what it says in before that last phrase where it talks about Jesus' death. We take the power of Jesus' resurrection, and when we're resurrected, we have a new life in the Lord. That's our new life, is the life of Jesus inside of us. So if we read the Bible with the newness of life, then you're going to touch joy. This book is going to come alive to you. But if you read the Bible without the newness of life, you're going to go back to the same, oh man, I don't want to wake up early to read the Bible. Oh, this is so dry. I've read this before. Why do I have to read it again? How come every time I read it, I don't see the Lord in here? What is this? You know, we have to have the newness of life. We have to understand, we have to believe in his resurrected life, that new life. And we take that life, that resurrected life, as our life, in our inner life. So inside of us, we could be filled with joy. No matter what the situation is outside, no matter if we're in sickness, no matter if we got a speeding ticket, no matter if you failed on something, no matter if you fell to sin, you can bring it before the Lord because you have that inner life with the Lord, that connection with the Lord. Okay, so the newness of life, that is our inner life with the Lord. Okay, so we have to experience this, in order to experience this, you have to have the desire to want to know the Lord. You have to have the desire to want to know God. Okay, so let me just end. I know I'm kind of going over time than I thought it was going, but I just want to conclude with, I'll just give you guys a couple of verses I want you to think about and consider, and I hope you'll write these down and even put it to memory, because these are really key verses in for our inner life in the Lord, okay? So the first one is one that you guys are all familiar with. It's Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 3. Psalm 37, verse 3 through 6 is what we're going to read. So it says this: trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. So what does this tell us? We have to delight in the Lord. We can't delight in the Lord if we don't have the Lord inside of us, right? We have to first have the Lord inside of us, and then we can delight in the Lord. That's what he calls us to. And what does he say after that? And he will do it. Trust in him, and he will do it. That means you don't have to make an effort to try to be more spiritual. You don't have to try to make it an effort to hang more things on your little Christian Christmas tree. You don't have to do more things to try to build your Christian resume. He will do that because you have Jesus. All your resume needs to say is just Jesus. All that you need to hang up on your little Christmas tree is just Jesus. He will do that if we delight in the Lord, if we trust in him. That's our inner life, is trusting in the Lord. Okay, so the next one I want to look at is Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8. And I think it's about two books before Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. And we're only going to read the very last sentence. Okay. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That first song that we sang today had the lyrics, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." Well, what does that mean? For the longest time, I did not understand this verse. I understood it incorrectly. I thought that, okay, well, this verse is telling me that, okay, I have the Lord inside of me, so if I'm happy, then I'll have strength to do it. That's sort of how I don't know what how I came to that conclusion, but if you read it carefully, it says, "For the joy of the Lord." That means it's his joy, not your joy, not my joy. It's his joy. "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." That means when the Lord, when you have that connection with the Lord and it brings the Lord joy, you have strength. You know, Brother Ed Miller is kind of, I really like, he's a really good brother. And the first time I met him, he came to Seattle a couple weeks ago. And the first time I met him, he came up to me and he said, "Hi, brother." He's like, "Is the Lord delighting in you this evening?" And I was, you know, he caught me like dumbfounded. I was like, "What? Is the Lord finding joy in me? Are you sure you didn't want to ask, am I finding joy in the Lord tonight?" But he said, "Is the Lord finding joy in you tonight?" That's what this verse is about. The joy of the Lord. It's his joy, not our joy. You know what our joy is? Our joy is sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes up again, sometimes down. Oh, you might have gotten an A on an exam. Oh, yeah, joy. River, living water is flowing out of me. Joy. You're up here. And all of a sudden, what happens next week? You take another exam. Oh, not so good. Oh, where's that joy? It's gone. Our joy is always up and down, up and down. Maybe one day you came to church and you heard a really good message and you're like, "Oh, joy. Yes, joy in the Lord. I'm up here." And then during the week, you know, something happened and, "Oh, where's that joy of the Lord again?" Or the following week, "Oh, it's the same guy again. I thought we were going to have a new speaker." Oh, your joy goes down again. And so our joy is always up, down, up, down, up, down. Oh, I got a raise at work. Oh, joy. And then, oh, what if you don't get a raise ever again in the rest of your life? Is that joy still joy? No, it's gone, right? So our joy is always up and down. There's no strength in our joy. That's why this Bible verse is, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." That means that we have to realize by faith that God is having joy by having us be in his presence. When we are connected with God, it brings him joy. Thank God for that, because if it's based off of our joy, probably most of the time I'd be down here without strength. But if it's based off of the Lord's joy, we're always up here. We always have the strength to do it. So our inner life with the Lord has to be connected to Him. We have to realize that, wow, the God of this universe is happy that Ben's son, and this evil guy, is in His presence. He's so happy to have me here. And with His joy, I'm able to have strength. So this is a verse that for the longest time, I read it the wrong way, or I understood it the wrong way until recently. Until recently, a brother revealed it to me, and I said, oh, now I understand. Now when I sing these songs, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength," I'm like, yeah, it's His joy. Because my joy is always wishy-washy, up and down. It's never consistent. Okay, so let me give you another verse. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. In our second message, we talked about how are we able to apply our faith? It's through the Holy Spirit. So we have to have joy in the Holy Spirit. In our inner life, if we don't have that joy, if we don't have the faith to have that inner life, we don't have that joy. If we don't have that joy, we're unable to have the joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's another verse that really connects us with God, because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit gives us that faith. When we're weak, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us that nudge, that extra boost of energy, the extra boost of grace for us to make it through. And we have to realize that by faith. Okay, the last one I'm going to give you is Psalm 51. We'll go back to Psalms. Psalm 51, verse 12. This is a very famous portion of the scripture. This is right after David committed a great sin. He came before the Lord. the presence of the Lord was gone because he committed this great sin, and then he's pleading before the Lord again. And in verse 12 it says, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Remember what we talked about the very first day? All the Lord is asking for us is to be willing to put our faith in Him. Here, David, because he committed this great sin, he realized that he's starting back from ground zero again. So he asked the Lord in the verses before, "Lord, give me a clean spirit. Renew my life in You. Don't cast me away from Your presence." And what does he say in verse 12? "Restore to me the joy of Your salvation." So tonight, if you feel like you don't have the joy of the Lord, cry out to the Lord like David here. "Lord, restore to me the joy of Your salvation. Lord, I know I've been a Christian my entire life. Lord, I know that on this path I've sinned, I've done some bad things, I've failed You in so many ways. Lord, I know that on this Christian path I may have been calling myself a Christian, but there's no life in me. I haven't seen You yet. I haven't tasted Your joy. Lord, restore to me the joy of Your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit." So the Lord wants us. He's, like I said, He's just at your doorstep, just pounding on your door, waiting for you to open up. And if you open up and let Him in faith, knowing that God is living in your heart, then you're going to touch this abundant life. Your inner life with the Lord is going to be so abundant. Our inner life needs to be more abundant than our outward life. We can do it. It's easy for us to do a lot of things outwardly, but that inner life is what's important. The inner life is what we need to protect. We need to protect the Holy Spirit within us, protect God's presence inside of us. So, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. The joy of the Lord is my strength." Knowing that sitting here makes God happy. Having you say, "Lord, I want to know You more," that makes the Lord so happy. He's going to come right into you, pouring into your heart, And he's gonna show you all the secrets of the Bible. He's gonna reveal himself to you. We just have to be willing to do it. Okay, so I will conclude the meeting there. But these four Bible verses I wanted to give to you, they're all verses that you already have read before and you're familiar with it. But just consider it as you leave this place. Wherever you go, whatever, you know, path of life the Lord leads you on, remember that inner life in the Lord is what we need to protect. That inner life in the Lord is where we find joy and abundance. And all of that is brought forth by a simple faith, just realizing, acknowledging that God is in your life. So why don't we bow with another word of prayer? Lord, we thank you for giving us these wonderful Bible verses, Lord. Help us to see these Bible verses as real in our lives, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And Lord, I just ask that you would restore the joy of your salvation in us. Lord, we are so easy to fall. We are so easy to drift away. But Lord, make your presence real in our lives. And for those of us who have not seen you face to face, Lord, I pray that you would give us the heart like Moses to want to see you, to know your ways so that we can know you. And Lord, you are such a great God. You are an indescribable God. And Lord, your abundance is infinite, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to taste a little bit of that. Lord, help us to be willing to protect that inner life that we have in you. And we thank you for that personal walk with you, Lord. And I pray for my brothers and sisters that they would, as they continue to grow and walk with you, Lord, as they leave this place, that they would draw near to you each day, and that we would never forget what you've accomplished on the cross for us, Lord, because that is the basis of our faith. That is our hope of glory, is the cross, and we thank you for that, for your resurrection life in us. Lord, we just offer the rest of this conference into your hands. May you continue to speak to us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tomorrow's session hopefully it'll be a more relaxed session. I don't need to bore you guys by standing up here more, because we're gonna go to Ed Miller's section, and we're gonna come over here right away. So hopefully we can make it a little bit more interactive. Hopefully you guys, so far I only have one sheet with questions on it. But if you guys don't have questions, that's fine. But I hope that we can have a time of even fellowship here. Remember my homework assignment: just choose one thing, even if it's just one word that the Lord spoke to you during this retreat. Just bring it tomorrow morning, and maybe we'll give you some time to just share with everyone what you've learned. Okay, so.